Think about these words. Put yourself in this lady's place. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Blind will see, and the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. That your baby boy is Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I
Rock a lady. talk with Jesus. Fill all that our trouble. Hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by. Feel little prayer will turn it. Know little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus. Makes it right.
Makes it right.
I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches them.
Same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, well, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. I am not the man that I used to be.
Thanks to Calvary,
things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy, he ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, my little bubba, don't be afraid, 'cause you've got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the dad that I used to be.
Thanks to Calvary,
things are so much different than before. As the tears ran down my face, well, I tried to tell him, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
Song. That's an older song, but it has still the same meaning that it did many years ago when you heard it for the first time. I hope you brought your Bible. I want you to turn with us to the book of Judges. I appreciate everybody being here today. We got visitors, plus we got folks that just not able to come and be with us and that are here today. Brother Ray's with us again. Judges 16th chapter. But I'm glad to see you. Glad you're in the house of the Lord. 16th chapter of the book of Judges. I'm not going to read a lot today, a couple of verses here. If you have bookmarkers and or something, Sunday school book, spare hand, I'm going to read a little bit out of the First John eventually, maybe. So if you want to look at and mark that spot while you're turning, doing all the turning. I want to read a couple of verses here in the 16th chapter of the book of Judges. I want to begin reading verse 20. Of course, this is about Samson and Delilah, and listen as she said in verse 20, she said, the Philistines be upon thee. Now I get you to where I understand where he's at. Samson has got his head laying in her lap. She's trying to find out where his great strength lies, where it's at. And of course, he tells different stories prior. Finally, after her persuasive means, cuts off his hair. And that's where his great strength lied, literally. But there's another kind of area you have to look at, spiritually. Being a Nazarite, he took a vow, and that vow, he wouldn't cut his hair. But that vow goes deeper than just saying, I'm not going to cut my hair. If I did that today, it wouldn't make a big change. All right? You got to think about it. When you make a vow to God, the Scriptures actually says, it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. That word that we say is very important. The words that come out of they're very important. When we were raised, that if you tell a person you're going to do something, you do your best to do it. I mean, that was just your word. You give your word, it kind of meant something. That still holds true today. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do my dead level best to do it. If I can't get it done, I'm going to apologize for not getting it done. God's word's a little bit different. God's word goes beyond life, my life. God's word will extend. It's extended before I got here. And guess what? If the Lord tarries, it'll extend after I leave. I'll be in the ground, but God's word's still going to abide. You follow that right there. So we've got Samson with vows. Vows unto God, fools around with the devil, and now he's laying his head in Delilah's lap, and here's the verse that says, and she said, the Philistines, they be upon thee. Samson, he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines, they took him. They put out his eyes. They brought him down to Gaza, however you want to pronounce it. And they bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words. And I thank you, God, for the Holy Spirit of direction and guidance that you do guide us with. And I thank you for that still small voice. And I pray, God, you'll help us today. Move upon all of our hearts and all of our minds. And God, if there be one lost among us today, God, their life would be surrendered unto you. And God, their soul would be saved if they'll come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Very hard to kind of grasp all the things that happened with Samson in just a short period of time. but just kind of briefly tell you a couple of things. Samson had a good mom and daddy. There was a lot of times when Samson would go the wrong direction that it would almost be like mom and daddy said, Samson, you don't need to be going that way. And yet, Samson went that way. It was almost like saying, Mom and Daddy, you really don't know what you're talking about. But really they did. Sometimes being around the presence of God, just being around His leadership, being around a direction that God has, teaches you some things. I've seen little children learn things from the Bible, and they would let that kind of be a guide through portions of their life. In fact, before you ever get saved, you can learn things like Jesus loves you and He'll stick with you through the rest of your life. Ain't that something? But in this passage, we're reading just a little part that says, and it's kind of words that we don't use, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't recognize, realize, or understand that the Lord's presence had went away from him. Now, as a New Testament person, as a person that believes what Jesus says, Jesus told his disciples and told others, he said, I got news for you, boys. I'm fixing to leave. That's my words, okay? I'm fixing to leave. I've got to depart. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to leave a comforter with you. And that comforter will abide with you forever. Now, boy, I like that. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God. Now that Holy Spirit of God changed from the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the Spirit of God would move on folks, but then it would leave. He would move on individual, but then it would leave. What happened was there was times that the Holy Spirit moved like He did with Samson. And with Samson, that Spirit of God would move upon Samson and he would notice a difference. In fact, everyone in this room, saved or lost, the Lord has appeared. When you reach the age of accountability, the Lord has appeared through that Holy Spirit of conviction, or that Holy Spirit word, that still small voice that's mentioned in the Old Testament, that still small voice can speak to lost people as well as he does to saved folks. When he speaks to lost people, he don't give you the directions of life. He don't tell you which way to go. He tells you that you need to be saved. That's what he tells you. You see, it's kind of like me praying. Before I got saved, my praying was zilch, zero. I could read what a Sunday school teacher might say. Here's the Lord's Prayer in the Bible. And I could read the words, but I didn't really understand the words that I was reading. I could understand that sometimes God would speak, even to me. And that still small voice that we can describe, when it would speak to me, it would be telling me what I needed to do. You see, when God tells you what to do, when God tells you what to do, sometimes we get that little stubborn streak in us and say, well, I hear you, but I'm not going to do it. There's been many a times in church you hear that voice and you say, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not going to do it. In other words, the wooing of the Spirit, as we would call it, the wooing of the Spirit is for the Lord telling you that you need to be saved, but the devil that's in your heart and life that every one of us know will say, oh yeah, it's okay to be saved, just not today. Now that is the Holy Spirit speaking and the devil living in your life saying no. It's a constant warfare. It's a battle. Now, in this case, we understand what Samson was going through. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him.
Now, I understand that. I understand, boy, if you don't live like God wants you to live, the Holy Spirit's either going to run your life or it's going to be that little dark corner of your life that you don't pay him any attention. There's a lot of things in our life that we ought to do. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that'll be beneficial. It would be great if I'd go and visit the nursing homes every day. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't it be a good thing if I'd get on my knees and pray every day? But does that mean I do all those things? And does that mean that I live that way? Does that mean that I do everything that I know would be a good thing, a right thing? But wait a minute. What about the things that God tells me to do? You see, there's a big difference. Samson, with all that great, powerful strength in his earlier days, before we read right here, caused havoc among the Philistine people. They were the enemies of God. And boy, whenever he'd come on the scene, that enemy of them just raise up. That devil and those folks, all they wanted to do was put a stop to Samson. And whatever means necessary, they were going to pay the price to put a stop to Samson. Now, I got news for you. There's enemies out there in the world right now that wants to put a stop to you. There's a preacher friend, and I'm not going to call his name. And I don't care about looking up. You just listen to me. There's a preacher friend that right now he is going through a battle. I mean, he is going through a battle. He's on YouTube, okay? And I listen to him occasionally every blue moon, and I listen to him. And I just so happened to listen to him last Sunday, you know, after Sunday service. And they were going through this battle, this fight. And I'm not talking about the fight in the church. No, sir. I'm talking about he was coming on the air and saying, "Church, I want you to pray for me. We've got a battle in the family." Now, he didn't go into details. He just said, "Church, I want you to pray." And friend, that church would be just like this church. After the service was over, folks was coming up, hugging the preacher's neck and saying, "Preacher, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray." And friend, since that time, back on there again, listen to what was folks are saying, and folks are criticizing what was going on. "Oh, something's wrong with the pastor's family." Now, that preacher didn't get up there to say, "Pray for me," for somebody to criticize. That's how the devil works. The devil will take everything that me and you try to do for good, and he'll twist it around, and he'll make it look so ugly, and the next thing you know, you're saying, "Well, what's wrong with a preacher's family?" I got news for you. It don't matter what's wrong with a preacher's family. You're supposed to pray for that preacher. And right now, we need to be praying for a preacher. We have no idea, but the devil's fighting him. That's what was fighting Samson. He was trying in his way to fight for God. And he got kind of out of line. He didn't do what God wanted him to do. He laid his head. Let me just say it this way. You take what I mean. He laid his head in the devil's lap. And when you lay your head in the devil's lap, you might ought to be really prayed up and ready to go. Because if you let your guard down, you're going to find the presence of God is not as real as you think it was. You see, that's how he's going to attack you. You think you come to church, "Man, let's go to church. It's a first Sunday after Christmas. Man, let's just go to church." If you think that's going to win your battle, coming to church, you're dead wrong. Coming to church is going to give you strength. Coming to church, being able to fellowship one another, will give you a lot of strength. But I got news for you. The battle is between you and God. And that battle, if you trust him, he's going to draw nigh unto you. And he'll be near to you. But if you don't draw nigh to him, it's going to be a little bit of distance that breaks up. Oh, I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. I've got the Holy Spirit living in me. Not any different from anybody else in this room. But I got news for you. I got news for you. If I don't let him be Lord of my life, all of a sudden it's like, is he there? Is he there? Samson. We know it didn't take very long for him. It didn't take very long. Whenever the Lord's presence wasn't so real in his life, you know what happened? They captured him. They put out his eyes. Now, I got news for you. That's not the worst thing they did to him. They put out his eyes. They put him in a grinding mill to treat him like an animal, to grind that meal by making these syrup. It was a very strenuous type thing, how they ground their meal and stuff like that. And he was the donkey, the mule, the oxen, whatever they used to pull. And that's what they made him do as punishment, round after round after round. And you think, boy, that's bad. No, what was bad was the Lord's presence wasn't real in his life. They put out his eyes. You see, me and you, we think, as long as we're able to see what's going to happen, we can defeat it. You know, we used to play games whenever you're growing up. You'd play all kinds of games. You might play a sports like football. If you could see what was going to happen, you try to stop it. You wanted to win. You wanted to make sure that your side won a game. You would try your you would look to the greatest detail to see if the enemy's coming, you're going to stop it. Watch this. But here's what happened. When his eyes was put out, he couldn't see what was fixing to lie ahead for him. He lost all sight. You say, well, that's not bad. There's people that's blind everywhere. Yeah, but whenever you once was able to see and are not able to see anymore, there's a hole missing. There's something missing. There's something that you can't, you just would wish just for a moment that you could see one more time. Listen to me. When you've had that Holy Spirit to guide you, we don't know nothing about this, but when you had the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you, to show you the way, and now all of a sudden that is removed, there's a hole. There's something missing. There's something lacking. There's something, oh, I wish I had that back again. God is not just something you can turn on Sunday and turn it off on Monday. God wants to be real. Now, the Old Testament way was a, man, I want to tell you, that would have been a tough ordeal. That would have been a tough ordeal. I want you to listen as I read 1 John. Some very familiar reading. Listen, 1 John chapter 1, verses number 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Now that's what the world is, and I got you. Well, let's go on. And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, now how in the world are you going to, how are you going to walk in the light unless you got eyes to see? You can still be blind and walk in the light. Watch. As he is the light. The way you walk in darkness, the way you walk in darkness is to have a light greater than you. You see, I can't see in darkness. It's funny, we keep a dog every now and then, and when we keep that dog, I don't turn on lots of light, and I can't see nothing. And that dog walking around is like nothing in the world because that dog can see good with the lights out. Okay? I see better when lights is on. Really, daylight, no problem. Nighttime come, man, I better turn on a light. You see my point? Friend, whenever we're in darkness, once we've been able to see the light, once we know the light, once we know the light source, when we go into that dark area of our life, we can't function. We don't know how to function. Friend, once you have been born again, light is something that you need to always go to. Not run away from. Not run away from. Friend, in this kind of area of his life, he knew where he needed to be. But how was he going to get there? He'd lost his eyesight. His strength was gone. Couldn't feel the presence of God. Grinding like an animal, of grinding and going round and round and round. What would you do? What would you do? Preacher, I know what I'd do. I'd pray. You know, we're not given a recorded time in the Bible that Samson ever prayed while he was at the grinding house. He didn't pray. If we're walking in the light as he is in the light, listen, we have fellowship one with another. Now, where was his fellowship? Where was Delilah? Man, she done long gone. Where was mom and daddy? They couldn't come. Where was God? Where was God? Have you ever been in the part in your life where you ever ask yourself, where's God? Where is God when I need him? Do you ever feel like he's a stranger? Oh, listen to me. When you taste God, when you feel God, you don't have to have eyes to see God. You just know he's there. You know. And if we have that fellowship, we have that fellowship. That fellowship is what reminds us. Listen to this. Excuse me. If we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the thing that we get out of the way to move God closer. You can't get close to God until sin gets out of the way. You'll never get close to God until you can do one thing correctly. And that one thing is pray. Watch this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Here he is marching around, going around that mill right one turn after another, and he has been deceived by the world. No, he deceived himself. He got himself in that situation. Nobody forced him to that situation. And you know what, friend? Sin was not a situation where we said, hey, I didn't do it. Man, I blamed stuff on everybody when I was growing up. I didn't do it. I lied. I knew good and well when I'd sinned and come short. And friend, when God spoke to me and told me I sinned, I never could deny it because he knew I'd sinned. Watch this. If we say, that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can't tell me Samson had never heard that verse. No, sir. But I have. Samson was blind. He could not read the Bible. But I can. Listen. There's many things that he couldn't do, but listen to what Samson finally did. I'm not going to give you into all the other details. I'm going to just read you this one verse. And Samson called unto the Lord. He prayed. Samson called unto the Lord. He got into a situation. They were going to make fun of him, make a mocker of him, and bring him out into the arena and make a sport of him, is what the scripture said. Blind. No strength. A little boy took him. He said, put me by the pillars of the building. The scripture said, and Samson called unto the Lord. He prayed. Oh, Lord God. Listen to what he says. Remember me. Remember me. Have you ever been in a part of your life when you're at the lowest of low? Whenever you've been in a part of your life where it seemed like sin has ruined your life? It seemed like you can't get a hold of what's right? You don't know what's right? And God is the only answer.
and he feels like he's a mile away. But whenever you pray, the thing that you want to know, does God remember me? Friend, God's never, ever forgot you. Never. Never. I always talk about this in the Bible. I mean it and it's serious to me. God's got a roll call book. If you've been born again, it's called a book of life. He writes your name down in there. I'm glad he writes my name down. I'm glad he'll never forget me. He'll never forget my name. But friend of mine, if you're lost without God, he knows you. He knows you. Now to Samson, that Holy Spirit had been moving upon him and it wasn't there. Right now in this part in Samson's life, he's saying, Lord, do you remember me? Friend of mine, if there ever was a time for the Holy Spirit to move, that was the time. Friend of mine, when you're at a spot in your life when you really need God, friend, God won't let you down. There's been times in my life when no one else could do, only God would do. There's been times in my life when I would say, Lord, I need you and I need you right now. And boy, there was not 5 minutes later that Samson needed. Not the next day. Samson wanted God right then and there. I want you to know something. Samson died on that day, right there, Johnny on the spot. You know the story. God gave him strength. He moves the pillars fall down, the building falls down, kills all the Philistines. But the whole point of it was, God never forgot Samson, nor has he ever forgot you. No matter how far you go, no matter how much sin has ripped and run through your life, God hasn't forgot you. I want you to know something today. What we read there in 1 John was, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And boy, have we done a lot of that. Have we spent a lot of times convincing ourselves that everything is all right? We've done a lot of times of saying, oh, I'm going to get right. I'm going to. And even tell the preacher, I'm going to. And it never happened. And there's going to be a lot of folks, like there's a lot of folks in hell right now, there's going to be a lot more folks in hell that had the intention of doing right, but never, ever stop and to take the time to pray. Like he never prayed in that grinding house, and he had plenty of opportunities round after round. Because he was so busy on what the things of this world had done and probably feeling sorry for myself. I've lost my hair. I've lost my family. I've lost it all. I have no strength. God's forsaken me. If you don't think your world's come to an end when you're in that shape, wait a minute, he didn't take the time to pray. And friend, this morning, the only way you'll ever see a change in your life is to take the time to pray. And that prayer can't be to the world. That prayer, Lord, remember me. Lord, do you know me? Friend of mine, anybody that comes to God, I like this. They that come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, you know what that means? That means if you come to God, he'll hear you. And when God hears you and you call on Him and you ask Him, Lord, save my soul, forgive me my sins. For you know what God does? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we'll forgive you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter. It don't matter how many sins you committed. It don't matter how many wrongs you've done. Christ can forgive all. My friend, I want you to know today, salvation is like what it says in Revelation. Behold, I stand at a door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Why is that? Because he loves you and wants to see you saved. Brother Greg, a song of invitation. I don't know your heart. I can't tell you right now if you're saved or not. Oh, there's a lot of folks in here. I've heard a lot of testimonies. I've heard. But I can only tell you for surety of mine. I can remember the time that I knelt and prayed. I can remember the time when God moved into my heart and has never left. Have I always done what God wanted? No, sir. But I've always been in a part where I can say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my wrongs. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the way I get saved. Not from my merits, not from my good. Friend of mine, you're here today and you're lost. You'll get saved through Jesus Christ. May we stand and sing a verse of this song. God's speaking to you. You come. Come to know Him in a free pardon of sin. Come to know that you can be saved. No matter what you've done, no matter how you've lived, no matter what kind of testimony you got in the world, friend, Jesus loves you today.